to turn tonight to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. Book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. I'd like to read the last verse, verse 18. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. I want to take the thought of the message this evening from the last part of that verse. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. The first part of the verse speaks of a twofold growth, a growth in grace and a growth in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A sure sign of such growth is to continually feel in our hearts and be able to say, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. When we get to the point where all we want to do is to glorify the one who saved our soul, that's a sure sign that we have grown. That's a sure sign that we are growing. To him be glory, both now and forever. And then it closes with amen. That sentiment is repeated throughout the New Testament. Notice in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, we want to look at several verses where we see this sentiment. Matthew 6, verse 13. The latter part of the verse says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And there it is again. Amen. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 5. Who are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever, or God praised or honored forever. And again, amen. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. And again, amen. Book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 5. Book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 5. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Very familiar verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And again, amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13, verse 21. The latter part of the verse says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We see the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. We see it again in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 11. Revelation 1 and verse 6, and Revelation chapter 7, verse 12. All of these verses talk about giving glory unto God forever. And each one closes with the word, amen. So, these words, to him be glory, both now and forever, amen, describe how that the child of God in particular is to live their lives. It describes the priority of our lives in a very me-centered world. It is getting extremely difficult to find individuals who really know what it's about. And that is, it is about the glory of God. In a world where everything evolves around individual happiness and individual pleasure, we need to be focused on giving glory to the Lord. He's the one that deserves it. He's the one to whom we are to give all glory. So I want to speak briefly tonight on glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Now notice here in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, it says, to him be glory. Now the word glory here refers to an act by us toward him. In other words, it's something that you and I do. And the word him, of course, refers back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, many of the verses that we just read refer to giving glory to God the Father. Some refer to giving glory to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Some refer to giving glory to Jesus Christ. This particular verse refers to giving glory to him, that is, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who he is Lord and say, or who he is Jesus Christ. Who he is our Lord. What he has done is that he is our Savior. So he is Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to give him glory. Now what does that mean? Well, it means that if we're to give glory to God, that means that we are to praise God. All praise begins in the heart. All praise begins with a prizing something in the heart. So this begins with you and I prizing God in our hearts and then giving God the tribute that is his due. And we often fall short of giving God the tribute that is his due. It is giving God the gratitude that belongs to him. It is giving God the homage that belongs to him. There's nothing wrong with being thankful to people, but don't ever thank a person without first thanking God. God is to get the thanks. We're not against saying thank you to individuals, But do not lose sight of who all gratitude belongs to. And that, of course, is the Lord. To glorify God or to give Him glory means to celebrate God. And that's what our lives are to be, and that's what praise is. Praise is a celebration. And that's what our lives are to be. It is to be a celebration of who God is, a celebration of who Jesus Christ is. So to Him be glory. That means honor. He deserves the honor. He's to get the honor. Don't get offended if someone does not give you honor. All honor belongs to God. Honor Him. It means to show Him admiration. It means to exalt Him. So it could read, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be honor. To Him be admiration. Exalt Him. And that's what it's all about. The word glory also means to show forth one's greatness, to draw attention to the Lord. You think about when God showed His glory in the Old Testament, all the occasions that God showed His glory in the Old Testament. What is it that He did? When God showed His glory, what is it that God did? He simply manifested His person. That's all it was. It was a manifestation of the person of God. It was a manifestation of who God is. That's His glory. It was a manifestation of His beauty. It was a manifestation of His value. And every time God showed His glory, it was a bright and awesome radiance of the beauty of His person. And it was done in such a way that it left an impression. In fact, the very word glory has reference to a weight. When God shows His glory, it's something that you can feel. And when God reveals Himself, it leaves an impression. When God showed His glory to Moses, it left an impression upon Moses. And it should be the heartfelt desire. It should be the heartfelt aspiration of every child of God to show forth the greatness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to show forth that greatness in such a way that it leaves an impression. It's not about you and I making an impression. It's not about you and I leaving an impression. It's about you and I living in such a way that people are impressed with God. That we glorify God means that we show forth God. To Him, our Lord and Savior, be glory. To Him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to Him be the glory. To Him who is first and last, to Him who is the Alpha and Omega and everything in between, to Him be glory. To the One who is the Creator and the Sustainer of all things, to Him be glory. Who are we? Who are we to even desire glory or honor or admiration? To Him be glory. To Him who is holy. To Him who is righteous, to Him who is almighty, to Him be glory. To Him whose ways are always right, to Him be glory. To Him whose word is eternal, whose will is unchanging, whose mind is always upon me, who's my peace, who's my joy, who's my everything, to Him be glory. This is not something that you and I should have difficulty with. This is not something that you and I should even struggle with. This should define our very life To him be glory, both now and forever. I mean, you think about what we have in Jesus Christ, to him be glory. You think about what he has done, to him be glory. You think about who he is, to him be glory. Now it goes on to say, to him be glory, both now and forever. That gives us the time frame of these words. Now and forever. Jesus Christ is who he is right now. So to him be glory right now. We shouldn't wait until we get to heaven to glorify God. To him be glory now. And that's always so. If you're laying in the hospital, to him be glory now. If you are disabled, to him be glory now. If everything is going just right, to him be glory now. Whatever it is that you are going through right now, to him be glory. To him be glory now. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him right now. No matter what I'm experiencing, no matter what I am going through, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him right now. Therefore, to him be glory right now. It has nothing to do with how I feel. It has nothing to do with whether I'm happy or sad. That has nothing to do with it. It all has to do with who he is. And because of who he is, and because of what he has done, to him be glory now. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is that friend right now. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm feeling, doesn't change who he is. So therefore, whatever it is, right now, he's to get the glory. He's to get all the glory. He's the only Savior of sinners right now. Right now, he's the only Savior of sinners. So right now, we are to glorify him for that. Right now, he's the only mediator between God and man. And we're to glorify him. He's our advocate before the Father. Not in the future, but right now. He is our advocate. Right now, he is everything that I need. Right now, he is the shepherd of the sheep. To him be glory now. Now. Well, you don't understand. I've had a bad day. To him be glory now. Right now. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you're going through. That does not change. To him be glory now. If we would learn that. If we would learn that to glorify God. To take time and praise God right now. To take time and praise God in all things. It would make a difference. It would make a difference in our lives. Right now we are children of God. That means right now I'm to give him glory. Right now, I am to glorify him. Right now, my sins are taken care of under the blood of Jesus Christ. Right now, I'm justified by him. I don't have to wait to get to heaven. I'm to glorify him right now. Right now, I have access to God through Jesus Christ. Now we have peace with God through him. Now we're on our way to glory. My whole point is, right now, whatever the now is, to him be glory. To him be glory now. But he goes on to say, forever. That's the future. Not only are we to glorify him right now, but whatever is yet to come, we're to give him the glory. Forever, forever, forever. To him be glory. There is not a time when you and I should not take the time to give Him glory, to give Him honor, to give Him admiration. Even if things aren't going the way we want them to go, we know what the Bible says. We know that the Bible teaches us very clearly that God is in control, that all things are working according to His will. Because you know that, give Him glory. Give Him glory. You don't have to like what's going on, but give Him glory. Give Him glory for whatever it is. Take time to praise the Lord so it is both now and forever. No matter what is in the future, to Him be glory. No matter what we might have to experience, no matter what we might have to go through, to Him be glory. No matter where we might be, to Him be glory. So it is both now and forever, to Him be glory. In other words, we are to recognize that glory belongs to God. I'm afraid there are many who have never recognized that. Both now and forever, we can give God glory verbally by declaring His greatness. You know, a lot of people need to quit telling their own story and start telling God's story. And start telling who God is. Quit telling about how you've been mistreated all your life and start talking about God. Give Him glory in all things. Declare His glory. That to Him. Think about those two words. To Him. To Him. Ephesians 3:21, it is unto Him be glory. But to Him. That describes the center of our life. That describes what should be the purpose of our life. Everything about our lives ought to center around God. It doesn't center around family. It doesn't even center around church. It is all to center around God. Everything is to be to Him. Those two words, to Him, give us the summary of what it means to live for the Lord. Those two words should describe the driving force of our life. We all have something that drives us. We all have something that impels us. And the driving force of our life ought to be Him, who He is. To Him be glory. To Him. Those words describe the perspective, our view of life. Those words declare that God is to be the priority of our life. Everything is to be to Him. And in a world where selfishness and selfish attitudes dominate most people's lives, the Lord needs to be priority. The things of God need to be a priority. We're not to give God what's left over. We're to give God glory. We're to give God glory right now. It is to be number one priority to give God glory. Our number one priority should not be, how can I get out of this mess? Our number one priority should be, how can I glorify God in this situation? God, help me to glorify You in this situation. That should always be our number one priority. Yet many times when we're not feeling well or some so-called disaster has come into our lives, the very first thing we're praying is how the Lord could deliver us from it. When we pray for others, it's always the same. Lord, heal them. Do this, do that. It's always for their benefit. But it should always be for Your glory. Lord, glorify Your name in this. And there's a lot of things that happen, and you've got to stand back and you wonder how in the world Can God be glorified in this? But he can be. And we need to pray to that end. That somehow, some way, God would get the glory. That should be our priority. This is why he created the universe. God's priority. You think about God's priority. Believe it or not, God's priority is not your comfort. If that was so, you would always be comfortable. God's priority is not your happiness. If that were so, you'd always be happy. Oh, God just wants everybody to be comfortable and happy. If that were so, everybody would be comfortable and happy. That is not the priority of God. What is the priority of God? It's his glory. Everything God does, he does for his glory. This is why he created the universe. We read in Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. This is why he put the stars there. This is why. It is to declare the glory of God. This is why Jesus came to his final hour, was for the glory of God. Notice in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 27 and 28. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. That's how we pray many times. But for this cause came I unto this hour. So hear what he prays. Father, glorify thy name. This is why Jesus went to the cross. That is the central reason. You say, oh no, the central reason why Jesus went to the cross was to save. That certainly is a reason, but the central reason is the same reason God does anything that he does, is for his glory. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And I believe many times if we would learn to pray in all our situations, Father, glorify thy name, we too would hear a voice from heaven. We too would hear a comforting voice from God. So let's always pray, Father, glorify thy name. This is the reason God has called us to salvation. Isaiah 43 and verse 7 says, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. It's all for his glory. Even when God at the great white throne judgment cast an innumerable host into the lake of fire, God will be glorified. It'll all be for the glory of God. Everything we do should be for the glory of God. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Why do we want them to see our good works? And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So that they might glorify God. Any good that anybody sees in any one of us ought to be for the glory of God. Somebody tells you that you've been a spiritual blessing to them, give God the glory. Don't you take the credit. You give God the glory. Give the glory where it belongs, to the Lord. You thank the Lord and you honor the Lord. The words, to him be glory, give meaning to our life. Gives meaning to our life. It gives motivation to our life. It gives passion to our life, gives focus, gives direction. To Him be glory. That gives direction to our lives. Most people today are just wandering around aimlessly. They have no direction. But if we live to give Him glory, that gives us a specific direction. Everything is moving in that direction. And I believe also that this, to Him be glory, that'll simplify our lives. And we streamline our lives down to this one thing, to give God the glory. That'll simplify our lives. And how many people are always talking, I just want my life to be more simple. Then live it right. The reason our lives are so complicated today is because we're not living it right. We're not doing it right. But you point everything in the direction, everything about your life in the direction of giving glory to God. And that will simplify your life. What makes our life so complicated is we're torn in 20 different directions at one time. Get it all going in one direction to glorify Him. It says, John the Baptist said, He must increase, but I must decrease. Now I realize John was talking about ministry. John's ministry must decrease, Christ's ministry must increase. John was the forerunner. But what he said there is very true of each and every one of us. He must increase. I must decrease. In other words, it has to be less and less about me and more about Him. Notice in Psalm 100, and we've preached on this before, but Psalm 100, there's, to me, two very interesting sets of words. In verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Then notice the next three words. It is He. Skip over about five more words, and you read, not we. That's what it's all about. It is He, not we. It is He, not we. The sooner we learn that, the happier we'll be. The sooner we learn that, the more simple our life will be. Then notice back in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, he says, to Him be glory, both now and forever. And like all the verses that we read that declare this sentiment, it closes with, Amen. In Revelation 1 and verse 7, John said, even so, Amen. Jesus said in Revelation 22 and verse 20, behold, I come quickly. John responded by saying, Amen, even so. And that's what Amen means. Even so. Or let it be, so be it. So when we read those words, to Him be glory both now and forever, every child of God ought to be able to give a heartily Amen. That is, let it be so. I want it to be so in my life. I want it to be so about everything about my life. To Him be glory. In other words, let it be so. There is not a one of us here that should have a problem with that. Let it be so. Let Him get all the glory. Let me get none. Let me get no honor. Let Him get all the honor, all the admiration, all the glory. Even so, let Him have it all. When you and I say Amen, we are saying, I believe that. And someone is preaching and you say, Amen. You're saying, I believe that. And we see here in all the other verses that we read, to him be glory. Amen. In other words, yes, I believe that. I concur with that. I agree with that. That he should get all the glory. Again, this is not something that we should have any problem with. I mean, is there any doubt in our minds that Jesus Christ is worthy of all glory? Is there any doubts in our minds that he should get all the praise, that he should get all the honor, that we should show forth his greatness, that we should draw attention to God? Is there any doubt in our minds that that's the way it should be? To him be glory, both now and forever. Can you say amen to that? I agree. I wholeheartedly agree that he is to get all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. When we say amen also, it's a word of joy. When you say amen, you think, that brings me joy. I agree with that, and that brings me joy. And it ought to bring joy to our heart that he should get all the glory now and forever. That ought to rejoice our hearts. Sometimes when we say the word amen, we're saying, I pledge to do that. I pledge to do that. Preacher may preach something that perhaps you're not doing, perhaps something you're guilty of, and you say amen. You're saying, I agree with that, and I pledge to do such and such. So when we read, to him be glory, we're saying, I pledge to do that. I pledge to give him glory right now. I mean, something is seriously wrong with you spiritually if you cannot give him glory right now. Right now. I'm not talking about when things get better or when things improve in your life. I'm talking about right now. If you can't find some reason to give him glory, you're in sad shape. So this is a word of resolution. To him be glory. And you know, everything in this world stands in the way of you and I giving glory to God. Everything in the world gets in the way. Everything in the world is opposed to giving him the glory. You ever notice on television when they're interviewing somebody and somebody wants to give God glory for something, that the interview is going to be short? They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And I realize that many times when people say, oh, I just want to thank God, it's just words. But the world doesn't want to hear that. Now, they'll listen all day if you want to thank your mom and your dad and the sacrifices they made. Oh, they'll listen. Oh, well, this is a wonderful story. But you give God the glory, they don't want to hear it. But this should be our intention. It should be our determination. It should be our aim. Do I like everything that happens? Of course not. None of us do. Would we choose sometimes for things to be different? Of course. But we ought to always be able to pray, Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name in this. Lord, that you would draw attention to yourself in this. So, we need to be resolved to glorify God with our life. In our health, you know, a lot of people, they say, well, just so-and-so sick, and they ought to glorify God in it. And that's true, they ought to. But more importantly, you ought to glorify God in your health. Don't wait till you're sick. Glorify God with the health that you have. And then if and when sickness comes, glorify God in that as well. Glorify God in your wealth. Glorify God in your poverty. Again, whatever the circumstance, doesn't change our duty, our obligation is to glorify God. When everybody likes us, glorify God. When nobody likes you, glorify God. Father, glorify thy name. How much passion do we have this evening to glorify God right now? Can you glorify God right now? Will you glorify God right now? To Him be glory. To Him be glory. Those words ought to always be in our hearts, and we ought to always be able to say, amen. I agree with that. He deserves, and He is to receive all the glory. And by God's help and by God's grace, I am going to live the rest of my life giving God the glory, giving God the praise. I don't want to credit luck with anything, because luck has nothing to do with anything. And you can use the word fortune if you want to. I'm sorry, I don't see any difference. It's just better to say God. God blessed me. God blessed me. God did this. God did that. Give God the glory. Don't rob God of what is His due. And that is the glory. The glory of God. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry will lead us.